Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, we are indeed thankful to be able to continue to look into your scriptures and to see what they may be saying to us on this day. We pray to be open to how they speak to us, how they challenge us, and how they comfort us. Lord God, we pray to truly allow your spirit to blow through these words to us. We ask all these prayers in your son's name. Amen. We're in the midst of a sermon series on stories through the 1st and 2nd Samuel, the book in the Old Testament. Now, this is the period when ancient Israel is moving into being a monarchy. And last week we read about King Saul and the Israelite army being threatened by the Philistine army. Last week we read about how the Philistines sent out their giant soldier Goliath, and the Israelites sent out their young shepherd boy named David, who had simply a sling and five pebbles. David's accuracy with his sling proved more effective as Goliath was defeated and his fellow soldiers fled. Now, in the chapters that follow in 1 Samuel, Saul remains king, but he falls victim to mental illness. In fact, there's one scene where the text says he is unable to hear a word from God, and so he visits a witch, and they have a seance, and they bring up the dead Samuel, and the ghostly Samuel informs Saul that Saul's reign is about to end. So Saul becomes more and more paranoid about David, and so the end of Samuel is all about his paranoia, and several times on three occasions Saul tries to kill David. And the main reason why David avoids death is because David develops a relationship with Saul's son Jonathan, and Jonathan starts feeding David insider information to protect him from Saul's aggression. So 1 Samuel ends with another attack by the Philistine army. But this time the Philistines are successful, and what happens is Saul is killed and his son Jonathan are killed. So now we're going to pick up the story in 2 Samuel. Now, the reason why there is a 1 Samuel and a 2 Samuel is because when they were originally put down on parchment, one scroll could only contain enough information, could only contain a certain amount of information. And so 1 Samuel contains the first scroll of information, and 2 Samuel contains the second scroll of information. So this morning we're going to begin reading from the second scroll of Samuel.
I'm reading from 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. After the death of Saul, David returned from defeating the Amalekites and stayed in Ziklag for 2 days. On the third day, a man arrived from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and dust on his head. When he came to David, he fell to the ground to pay him honor. "Where did you come from?" David asked him. He answered, "I have escaped from the Israelite camp." "What happened?" David asked. "Tell me." He said, "The men fled from the battle. Many of them fell and died, and Saul and his son Jonathan are dead." Then David said to the young man who brought him the report, "How do you know that Saul and his son Jonathan are dead?" I happened to be on Mount Gilboa," the young man said. "And there was Saul leaning on his spear with chariots and riders almost upon him. When he turned around and saw me, he called out to me and said, and I said, 'What can I do?' He asked me, 'Who are you?' 'An Amalekite,' I answered. Then he said to me, 'Stand over me and kill me. I am in the throes of death, but am still alive.' So I stood over him and killed him because I knew that after he had fallen, he could not survive. And I took the crown that was on his head and the band on his arm and had brought them here to my lord." Then David and all the men with him took hold of their clothes and wept and fasted and took hold of their clothes and tore them. They mourned and wept and fasted till evening for Saul and his son Jonathan and for the army of the Lord and the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. This is the word of the Lord.
In an article entitled Unimaginable, Catherine Schifferdecker says this. There's a song in the musical Hamilton that always brings tears to my eyes. It's a song right after Alexander and Eliza Hamilton's firstborn son, Philip, is killed in a duel. The song is called It's Quiet Unknown, It's Quiet Uptown. And the first lines go like this. There are moments that the words don't reach. There's suffering too terrible to name. You hold your child as tight as you can and push away the unimaginable. As Catherine Schifferdecker observes, unimaginable is a good word to describe the loss of a child, something so hard, so heartbreaking, that it is simply unimaginable. Schifferdecker continues her article this way. Unimaginable came to mind earlier this week when I learned that Henry, a schoolmate of my daughter's, had drowned in a lake at his and his twins' 9th birthday party. Catherine's 12-year-old daughter, Sarah, is best friends with Henry's older sister, Jenny. There were no lifeguards in the lake, and the parents who were watching the kids didn't see the child go out a little deeper. When they realized that he was missing, they called 911. The police came. They dove into the lake, but it was too late. Catherine's daughter said to her mom, she said, "Mom, I'm scared. I'm scared because I don't know what to say to my friend who just lost her brother." And her mom, Catherine, said to her, she said, "Sweetie, it's important to show up at times like these. Just give Jenny, your friend, a hug. Tell her how sorry you are for her loss. Ask her how she's doing, and let her know that you care." Catherine says she sat with Henry's parents and listened as his mom, Bev, spoke of her own feelings of grief, of loss, and of guilt. And what struck Catherine was how her friend looked. She looked sad. She looked burdened. She said, "My son is dead. This is unimaginable." Today's text is a story about grief. And grief may be something that many of us are feeling right now for one reason or another. I read someone define grief as the feeling and mourning as the action. Grief is the feeling and mourning is the action, is the response to the grief. Now, the Christian faith, this faith is based on a belief in both death and new life. But too many of us ignore our grief, and we put on those artificial faces when people say, "How are you doing?" "Oh, we're fine. We're fine. Everything's fine." But that's not how we truly feel inside. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we don't have to ignore the death. Death was real for Jesus, and the experience of things and ideas and places and people dying is a part of our life as well. The text we read describes the grief expressed by David after the deaths of both Saul and his son Jonathan. After what Renee finished reading, you get a longer experience of the grief that David feels. And in those words, it's very interesting because David offers great words of lament about Saul, a man who tried to kill him 3 times. That's not understandable. It's certainly understandable for as he expresses all of his grief over Jonathan. The text says that the strength of the love The text describes the strength of the love that David had for Jonathan. So our question is, what are we grieving as we come into worship today? Now, some of us may be grieving the loss of family members, especially over the last 15 months. If you've lost a family member to death, it has been especially, especially hard. Our traditional grieving practices were canceled or delayed or simplified. Over the past 15 months, many of us have had to grieve the loss of loved ones, maybe parents or grandparents. Maybe it's been children. Maybe it's been a husband or a wife, a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Maybe it's been the loss of a brother or a sister. Maybe it's been the loss of a special friend. Or maybe somebody that you've just admired from afar. This text today reminds us of the importance of grieving the loss of a loved one. We grieve because they meant so much to us. We grieve because we miss them. Now, sometimes the separation comes through death, and sometimes it comes through the breaking of relationships. No matter how much a divorce or breaking away from an abusive relationship is needed, it's still painful, and it requires us to grieve what we once had. Sometimes we need to grieve not people, but places. Maybe we grieve the loss of a job or business. Maybe we grieve a home that we have sold before moving to a new location. Maybe we need to grieve the end of a dream, whatever that dream may be. Sometimes we need to grieve an idea or a belief system. Some of us maybe come from backgrounds that we are leaving behind. There was a security in our old ways, even if they were destructive to us. There was a security there, and it's tough being called into something new. But before moving forward, we need to say goodbye to whatever it was that we had. Sometimes we need to grieve injustice. Injustice against innocent people. Injustice against God's creation. In the story that I shared, Catherine Schifferdecker was correct when she said that what we really need while grieving is relationship and welcome. And that is the role that we in the church are called to play for one another during our times of grief. No matter what you are grieving, here is a place where I hope we can find ways to offer that encouraging word. Here is the place where we can say to one another that no matter your brokenness and pain, that here you are welcome to share and we will listen. Here is the place where you can cry or show your anger or whatever emotion may have you held within its grip. We don't ignore our pain, nor the pain of others. This is a time to listen, a time to support one another, a time to provide care for one another, and a time to comfort one another. Yes, the text and the scriptures throughout are clear that there is joy in the morning. There is joy in the morning. But before the joy, we must allow ourselves time for the grief. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, we pray that indeed we are a community for one another during our times of brokenness, whatever that brokenness may be. We pray that you give us the patience and the presence to be there for one another, and to be there for folks outside of ourselves, to be your presence in their time of grief and mourning. Holy God, we lift up all these prayers through your Son's name. Amen.